The mustard seed. Okay? You know, the word mustard, as it is listed in the Greek, is not a Greek word. It's a loan word, and some think from the Egyptians. I don't think so. But be that as it may, it means to sting or to hurt, is the etymology of the word. Thus, I think, identifying. And naturally, it spices things up. All right, it changes things. If you think salt changes flavor, what would a hamburger be without mustard? Okay, so and basically the seed, the taste is the same. But and there are many old sayings from the mustard plant, like they can't cut the mustard or they can cut the mustard. But in an old Hebraism, or I should say, a Greek metaphor is. Was a sour look. They called it mustard because mustard is sour. That has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with what we're going to discuss about mustard today. Christ mentioned this plant several times. Have you ever noticed it was always in conjunction with something? That's what makes it important, because it's your faith that's involved. And faith focused on what it's supposed to be will never waver. He will never leave you. Now, many people leave him and then blame him for leaving them. Not so. They weren't focused. They left him. They're alone. So that's why if your life ever gets a little cloudy, things aren't going good, and it should every day, even with trouble, you can cut it, because you can cut the mustard. You're of that clan, that is to say, of Christ. You know he's never going to put on something on you that a lot of other people haven't defeated, and he promises he's always going to show you a way out. You know I quote that quite often, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He promises that. Now, you either have the faith to believe it, or really, you're not a believer. You just pretend to be. That's kind of hard. That's called tough love. But that's exactly the truth. You can't believe something a little bit. You either do or you don't. It's cut and dried, yay or nay. So you either make your mind up, you believe God's word, or you don't. What was this mustard seed most often connected with? Well, what do you do with mustard seed? Would you sow it? Well, naturally, isn't it complicated? It has to do with the parable of the sower. And it's most always connected with that or faith to the fig tree. I don't have to tell you what the fig tree generation is. You're living in it. Therefore, it becomes paramount to you. But you're to understand it if you expect your faith to last. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to go into this Greek word, synapi. Synapi. And we're going to, Christ has just taught the parable of the sower. Now, people that deal in agriculture have a little bit of advantage here, because you know what it's like to broadcast sow, all right? It's called to sling or to stretch out, if you want to go all the way to the etymology of it. And that's the way seed was sown before we got John Deere, okay? Got a little fancy. And Christ makes a statement after the parable of the sower. This is going to be a lesson in simplicity, but I'm going to trust your memory for all the types of sowing that Christ did along the way. All right? And we're going to pick it up in the 11th verse of chapter 4, the book of Mark. And he said unto them, Christ speaking, unto you. They'd ask him, why do you speak in parables? Okay, Mark chapter 4. Did I say Matthew to you all first? Well, I do apologize from the bottom of my little old heart, okay? That's why you never want to follow a man. Always follow God's word. A man can lead you wrong. And there's a prime example of it, all right? Follow the Word, God's Word. Because I don't know of any man that's perfect. And, you know, someone that is just hates those that claim to be. So I don't know anyone like that since Christ walked the earth. So makes a good game anyway, doesn't it? Mark chapter 4, verse 11. I'll get it out here. All right, here we go. Mark 4:11, and it reads, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Now, what did that say? Given to you to understand the mystery of God. Do you? That's the question. All right, let's follow it up. "But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." That's why I speak in parables, so they're not accountable, they're not focused, they don't know up from down or sideways from crossways. What, does that sound like he's being mean? No. If they haven't got the guts, if they haven't got the courage to stand on the word itself, then God doesn't want them accountable, because then they would be guilty. They would probably commit the unpardonable sin. So it is love. It is the cloak of innocency. But some of you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And the mystery, then, he connects to the sower of the kingdom. Do you want to be a part of it? That means the king and his dominion. Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, they wouldn't understand to the depth they're supposed to. And hearing that they might hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. But there's just one problem. One becomes accountable at that time. One becomes accountable to the point that they can commit the unforgivable sin. The millennium itself has nothing to do with forgiveness for those that commit the unpardonable sin. And that is to not understand this mustard plant and to refuse the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through them at the moment, their moment, the moment we're called for. That's to say, before the false Messiah. Verse 13, "And he said unto them, know ye not this parable?" He's talking to the disciples now. "And how then will ye know all parables?" In other words, you either understand the parable of the sower and the tares, or you're not going to understand any parables. They're going to go right over your head. So Christ makes this very important. He said, it's so you'll have and understand the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, how it comes in, how God utilizes, how he has tested, how the katabo that happened in the first earth age, that he destroyed that age and brought us here for a purpose, not just to pass time, but for a purpose. You're not going to understand any parable if you don't understand the parable of the sower, meaning the tares, including the mustard seed. 14. "The sower soweth the word." He says, I'm going to explain this to you. The sower sows what? It's not seed, it's the word. The what word? The word of God. Not some rag sheet that some imbecile puts out somewhere that is so far contrary to God's word with people that sucks people in that are a little bit ignorant as far as the foundation of the manuscripts go, and it hurts them. God has a special place for those that will lead the sheep astray. 15. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." And he will, if you do not understand his method of operation, Satan's, that is to say. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word," I say heard it, all right, "immediately receive it with gladness." Boy, they just sop it up. "And have no root, in themselves. No, they're going to put it in some man or some rag sheet or some imbecile somewhere, some idiot. And you know what that idiot's going to do? And so endure, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake. For their sake? For Satan's sake? No, for the word's sake. God has work for you. That's what he chose you for. If you can't cut the mustard, he's got no use for you. Well, what about love? Oh, he loves you. But I don't know, let's say you've got a business. Do you hire a bunch of people that can't work? That aren't fit for anything? I don't think so. Neither does God when it comes to his business. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of the world, that's the thorns, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. Just don't have time today. And it becometh unfruitful. It won't produce. I don't know how many of you had big hopes, planted a garden and didn't take care of it, and weeds choked it out, and you go out and say, I just got the scrawniest little old tomatoes of anybody in town. Well, you didn't work. You didn't water. You didn't take care of. Well, I wanted God to do it. You ought to see my 10 acres that I let God take care of for animals' sake, all right? The 29 I take care of that he gave me charge of look pretty doggone good. But, you know, God expects us to do it. If you're his servant, he's not going to do it. You're going to do it, or it's not going to get done in your life or anyone else's. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. It doesn't matter how much to God. They just produce fruit. He expects it. That's why he hires them. That's why he wants them. No fruit. Hey, no pay, no blessings, friend. Can't use you. Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Of course not. Truth is supposed to be shared. God's word is supposed to be shared. You can't let it be choked out, misused, run over, undisciplined attendees that produce no fruit and call it a work of God. It isn't. It's either going to produce fruit, it's going places, or I guarantee you it's not of God. You know why? We win. We've got the victory. And we've had it from the beginning. He has given us power over all of our enemies. The question is, do you exercise it? That's how you get into the kingdom. That's how you have his blessings even today. Verse 22, for there is nothing hid, there's no mystery hid, which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, they may not understand it now, but because of you, they're going to. In the millennium, now, seeds planted, I don't know, how are you doing? How's your fruit? You know, I don't. That's the question, okay? I guarantee you, God knows. 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. This is Christ's invitation to those that want a deeper truth to listen up. 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. You be careful. You listen. You hear something. There are a multitude of freaks and nuts. All right? You know what they claim to be? Preachers, teachers, scholars. That's what they claim to be. You take heed. That means you be real careful about what you hear. With what measure you meet. What measure do you meet with? What do you bounce somebody's word off of to tell whether it's true or not? And you'd better all answer the right way. The word of God. If it won't match this word, throw it out. It's no good. Let the hogs have it. It won't stand up, and it will hurt you. Be careful what you hear and sift it out real good. There's only one way you can know whether it applies to the word or not, and that is if you're familiar with the word. Not some nutcases, publications. God published this letter for you a long time ago. If you can master that, you've done something. Watch out what you measure with. It shall be measured to you. Think about that. And unto you that hear shall more be given. The more fruit you produce for God, the more knowledge he's going to give you to understand, to hear with clarity, to understand not man, not this man or any other man, but the Word of God. This Word is a letter written to you personally so that you could mete out or measure out whether someone was telling truth or a lie. Okay, verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In other words, if somebody says, well, yes, I'll be Christian, but I'm a busy person. I don't have time for the Lord. Well, what little he has got of faith or anything, he's going to be stripped like a lightning bolt hitting a pine tree or an oak tree or any other kind of tree. He's going to be stripped clean bare, and that's how he's going into the kingdom, naked. He's got nothing to show for the time of testing, which is all that this life is about. How are you doing, friend? That's the question you want to ask yourself. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now, what's the subject? So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. In other words, God causes it to grow. God causes that little embryo to ignite into life. You don't have any choice of that. Some of you will say, well, I'll plant seeds and I just can't make them grow. You're not supposed to. If you plant a seed in someone's mind and it doesn't grow, that's God's word to you. Leave them alone. Don't touch. Okay? Otherwise, you'll hurt nobody but yourself. God is not hard up for students. Don't you be either. Plant a seed and then place it in God's hands. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. In other words, God knows how to do it. Do you? That's kind of the way seed planting goes as well. You plant a seed, if it springs forth, then go back, answer the question, guide gently, and watch it develop into a beautiful plant. That is to say, the mind of a person. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you're probably trying to tell somebody how much you know, and that's not important. You're supposed to be thinking about that poor soul, not trying to show how much you are. 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. That's the way the whole world is going to act out. That's what the kingdom is like. When harvest time comes, the sickle's going in. 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Now, what's the question? What can we liken the kingdom of God to? Now, did it say the kingdom of heaven? No. It said the kingdom of God. What can we liken it to? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Question. How can we understand? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, what do you do with it? When you sow it in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's the tiniest seed that one uses in a garden that one sows. There's smaller seed in nature, but it's the one men sow. It's the smallest that you put in the garden and so forth in that particular general area. All right? 32. And when it is sown, first of all, that work's got to be done. You understand? You have to execute that action. You have to work. It groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What are these fowls of the air? Birds of... Who's the prince of the air now? Satan is. In other words, when you grasp a little truth, a little faith, all it takes is a little bit, like to start, is to understand this parable of the sower. You have to understand who the tares are. Do you understand? You have to know who the Kenites are, or you're not going anywhere. And from that, that's being the thought that the two out of seven churches taught in Revelation 2 and 3, and Christ blessed them. The rest he did not. So you've got to have that one little bit of truth of the sower. The rest of it is hidden. It's not given for everyone to understand. But he says, along when you get that little bit of truth started, you better be careful, because these birds of the air, religionists, are going to come and lodge in it, claiming to be preachers, claiming to be from God, from heaven, and they're going to destroy it if they have the opportunity. That happens all the time because of lack of discipline, lack of tough love. You must treat everyone the same or you're a fake. Tough love comes hard, and it usually hurts the one that must exercise it more so than anyone else. But that's the way it is. You either have... In other words, all it takes to have your faith blossom into surety is to be able, with understanding, to understand that parable of the sower, of the tares, and how the devil himself planted them, and how they have grown up and progressed as well. And you can start a good work, but you better keep the nest cleaned out of the ministry. Kick them out, throw them out. For there is no room for anybody's word but God's word. Otherwise, it's impossible for you to have the faith of that mustard seed, which is to say, that little bit of truth. What did it say? Those who have it, God's going to give a lot more. Not only that, he's going to bless your fruit. You're going to multiply. Just such a little tiny start, that little mustard seed. But it's truth. It's the real thing. It is your foundation of the word, whereby it opens the door, the key of David, that God can begin dealing with your mind and will. Why? He pretty well knows you're going in the right direction. But he warns you, I can't keep out those would-be preachers that say I sent them and I don't even know them. So you've got to be able to mete out, measure. Doesn't take much. How disciplined is a person? Do they pay attention to what they're doing? Are they stable, or do they flit around? You know? Do they produce fruit? By their fruit you will know them. But the main thing, the ultimate, is that tiny little seed, which is... What is the seed we sowed? We called it mustard seed there, but it's actually the Word of God. And when you hang on to that and be very careful, take heed what you hear. Base, stay grounded in your Father's Word, and you're never going to be disappointed. That's what he's saying here. He's saying you can bet on it, you can count on it. The day you plant it and I begin to bless it, the would-be preachers are going to hit the nest. All right, they're going to try. You know, if you ever want to do an interesting Greek word, take that lodge or lodging as it relates to the mustard tree. Do a little home study on it and you'll go far. About would-bes. Okay, a lot of them. A lot of would-bes. Okay. Be very, very careful of some person that comes along and says, God gave me a message for you. Now let's analyze this. You're one of God's elect, right? Okay. Do you think God doesn't know who his elect are and what your telephone number is? Do you think he doesn't know your address? Do you think he doesn't know how to talk to you? He started since you were a child on how to get your attention, to open up a line of communication with you. That's secret between you and him. You know I don't, but I know what I'm talking about. So he doesn't need some man to come along and prophesy over you. He'll let you know if you be his elect. So be very careful if some person comes to you and says, I have a word of God for you. I told one old boy one day, I said, well, God's got my phone number. And he started cussing and raving and frothing at the mouth. He didn't come from God. I wanted to pop him so bad I couldn't hardly stand it, but the poor sucker couldn't help himself. He was mad. Mad. Satan will try anything in the world to short circuit your works and your fruit. Don't allow it. You're better than that. That's why he chose you. Is you can cut the mustard. You understand about the mustard. What was the subject about that anyway? What we're going to liken the kingdom of God to. The mustard seed. Now, are you going to be a part of it or not? It's real easy to decide. You're going to let that little bit of truth, and you're going to accept it without doubt about the sower, that is. You know, if you don't understand this parable of the sower, just stop right there, because you're not going to understand any of the rest of my word. Might as well just take a vacation right here. So make certain that you do understand the sower, the parable, especially concerning the tares that are going to try to lodge in it because Satan sent them and he will not cease. Okay? So, having said that, we're going to turn now to Matthew chapter 17. And I really do mean Matthew this time, okay? Called Levi by Luke in a place or two. And we're going to chapter 17. And we're going to go into how do you measure your faith? How do you do things for God? Well, I'm not sure. When you really are confronted with something evil, what do? Here's your lesson. Matthew 17, verse 15. Okay, and the old boy approaches the Lord and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Lunar, of course, means straight, a lunatic means straight from the lunar, the moon, children of night, in other words, Satan. Satan himself, evil spirit, possessing this one, all right? And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They couldn't cut it. They could not cut the mustard. 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, what is the subject here? O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. How many times do I have to teach you, to show you the simplicity of how to overcome your enemies? 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You know, in the great book of Luke, God gives you power over all of your enemies, including Satan, if you're hoss enough, you know, if you can cut the mustard to claim the promise and have God's blessings, you can cleanse that person in the name of Jesus Christ, all right? Don't ever try to do it in your name, or you're liable to get whacked real good, all right? 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. This means they come up real quiet. They were ashamed of this, no doubt. I would have been, wouldn't you? And said, why could not we cast him out? Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, and that means nation. What nation? The fake nation, the Kenite nation. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, I repeat, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hey, that's in God's power. If God is really blessing, hey, nothing can stop you. Why? We have power over all of our enemies if you focus. And if you observe, what is it again that the mustard seed means? It's the explanation basically to the parable of the sower. That you know who the tares are. That you know what's happening in this world. It takes none, not one thing. It increases the love of salvation to know that God, having given that Son for the sins of whomsoever will. But at the same time, we're talking God's election, those that are supposed to have ears to hear and eyes to see, who receive much more. Am I talking class in Christianity? No. We're all one in Christ. But you know, every family has big brothers, little brothers, and baby brothers. And it would seem that from the sins of the first earth age and so forth, God uses sometimes big brothers, little brothers, or whoever he chooses. He knows who has the stuff. He knows who can cut the mustard. You know, it seems to base a lecture of this strength on a little old tiny seed almost seems to oversimplify the situation, doesn't it? Not if you go to the depth, my friend, and I hope you have the knowledge and the wisdom to take it yourself and understand the importance. Because the very fact of whether God can use you or not depends upon that. And I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about service, all right? Verse 21, howbeit this kind, the lunatic of the moon, Satan, goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer, meditation, and fasting in God's Word to focus, to discipline yourself, to first of all learn what he asked you, faith as the seed of the mustard. Boy, that's just a little bit on your part. Do you understand what your Father is telling you? All you have to do is take that one little step and absorb it, and I'll give you the rest if you'll work for it with me. That's really pretty generous. And it isn't a thing that I can do or you can do. It's something that our Father does. Why? He loves his children. Do you know something? He doesn't, in a sense, he doesn't love those that can cut the mustard any more than the others. Because he sent those that can cut the mustard to help, to lead the ill-guided. Don't ever stop caring about the ill-guided. Sometimes you have to cut yourself apart from them, especially fake preachers. But don't give up. You keep focused Luke chapter 13, he brings in the mustard seed again, and so many people say, oh, why does this happen to that one, this one happens to this, and why did that happen to him, and why? Okay? Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, murdered and butchered them, I mean. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose, do you think that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? All that calamity, do you think that whole bunch was the biggest bunch of sinners out of the whole bunch? Verse 3, what did Jesus say? I tell you, no, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, you look at the bloodbath those Galileans had, and if you don't repent and get focused on God's word, it's going to be a worse perishing and sacrifice than that for all of you. Okay? Accidents happen. That's what he's saying. But there's something about to happen at the end that is absolutely no accident. So repent. Are those 18, now stop and think, what is 18 in numerics? Bondage. Are you in bondage to the world? I pray not. And those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? You think they were the worst? God just gathered them up and herded them in there in one little wad and bang. I tell you, nay. So, no. Your answer is no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In the end, if you haven't repented, I'm sorry, your goose is cooked. It's over. That's it. Accidents happen in the flesh. But God's plan is no accident. It happens. You can count on it. Repent. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, I want you to concentrate for a moment on the generation of the fig tree. That's this one. I want you to concentrate also that God cursed the bad fig. It withered. And he said, if you had faith concerning that fig tree, you could take a mountain and throw it into the... That's back in Mark again. In other words, you could destroy the Kenite nation, Satan's power. Those that stand up against him and the Holy Spirit speaks through them, as it is recorded in Mark 13, will be a part of that, okay? A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Hey, God doesn't mess around. No fruit? Guess what? Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's worthless. Get rid of it. You know, that's when you kind of go in a dry spell and you're not doing for the Lord, I'd think about this. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So God gives us an opportunity to convert those that would hear. Do you know that's what you're for? I don't like to mess with unbelievers. No, I said, that's what you're for. Is to kind of do a little cultivating, seed planting. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. There's that number 18. She had an evil spirit and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Satan had her bound and tied. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. You're free. Proving what? He had power to tell the spirits where to go. Why? He could cut the mustard. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, that's one of them birds that'll roost in your mustard tree, friend. He's not lining up with God's word. You know, the better the day, the better the deed. All right? So, you know, here it is. We could call it our Sabbath. Guess who's working? Okay? You're supposed to work every day because Christ is our Sabbath, and I hope you're in him every day. I hope you're not one of those weekend wonders. Verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. We call that preacher a hypocrite. Well, you're always talking against preachers. No, I'm not. I never call them by name. Jesus called him a hypocrite, all right, not me. That means play actor. You're play acting like you're a preacher. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? Yeah, but I got money invested in that. That's my donkey. Okay? Well, 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years he loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Why wouldn't that be right? My friend, that's our purpose, is to loose the bounds of Satan. He works better from pulpits than he does about anywhere else. And it's terrible that we have to say that, but that's a known fact. Hey, you don't believe me? You turn on the television sometime and listen to a few of them. There's some good ones. But you listen to a few of them and you tell me, give me a report, outlined. Did they follow God's word or were they playing preacher? All right? You figure it out for yourself. Then we'll know if you can cut the mustard. Again, 18 being the number of bondage, all right? 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, unto what? Now listen carefully. Unto what is the kingdom of God like? You see, God's kingdom is very much in effect right today. You understand that, don't you? Here on earth and in heaven. Got that? He's talking to you. He's talking about you. He says, I'm going to tell you what the kingdom of God is really like. And whereunto shall I resemble it? What can I liken it to? Guess what he's going to choose. I'll give you one guess. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged. There's that word again. You know what it means? They come there and take over. They come there and claim it. Satan's little people will claim to be preachers. They'll play act. And that's what Christ is teaching here. That's why he called them hypocrites. Because rather than teaching his word, they were teaching their own traditions. And again, he would say, what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. If some woman takes, what he's saying, if some woman takes the little bitty mustard seed and puts it in the loaf, which is the body of Christ. Christ is the bread of life, right? Okay, we together. While she's making this, if she slips in that one little seed of mustard, meaning truth, that word of truth will go through that whole loaf just like yeast will, which is leaven. And it's going to puff, it'll circulate till it impregnates, that is to say, touches everything in that loaf. By the end, there won't be anyone left But we that have faith and believe, that's why he said repent, or there's coming a greater destruction than that. And as we go into the third earth age, there's not going to be anybody left but those that love him and believe upon him. And you know something? You've wrestled with those that won't long enough. You need to be free. You need to breathe. So we can say on that day, good riddance, only we won't. Do you know why? Because God will blot them out and you won't even know your own, remember your own grandpa. Otherwise you might shed a tear. They just simply were errors, mistakes. Just like you would delete a file in a computer, only even better, because it's still there if you delete it in a computer. It just erases the name. Anyway, the grain of the seed of that little old mustard is what the kingdom of God is about. Are you in it? Do you understand that parable of the tares? Then if not, let's go learn just a little more about it. What did God tell us? Turn with me back to Matthew. I know I'm bouncing you back and forth, but you know what? That's good for you. Good for you to bounce back and forth, all right? Chapter 13 we're going to go to. I do not have to tell you what's in this 13th chapter, because they ask him the same thing in the 10th verse. Why are you always talking in parables and tongues? So that you only understand. And naturally, if you don't understand this parable, you might as well quit for him, because you're not going to understand any of his other parables, okay? Beginning with verse 24 through 31, it talks about the sower in the night, which he alluded to earlier. It means the tares, which is a zawan. It looks just like wheat when it's growing. You can't hardly tell the difference unless you were experienced in horticulture until it's harvest time. Then the difference shows up real easy. It's got no fruit that isn't black and poisonous. And then after he had explained the parable in detail where a child can understand it, then he makes this statement in verse 31 again. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, we got the whole business this time, is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, number one, did the man have a part in this, or is this God's word and God's doing it all? No. The man sowed the seed. These people that get so spiritualized, they just think God's going to do it all for them, just float off like some big old white cumulus cloud, never letting any rain out on the crops, all right? Takes a little work, all right? The man sowed a grain of mustard seed, little bitty tiny thing, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds that a man sows, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Every time while I'm doing this, I know we've got some repetition, but I want you to let that settle into your mind. Every time you establish a work from a seed of truth, you're going to have would-be's and hypocrites come along and try to take it over. You understand? Satan, in other words, Satan's going to send somebody to destroy you. He doesn't care about destroying you that much, but your work. He wants to rob you, to steal and tear down rather than build up. So see that you pay heed to what you hear. Whatever any man, this man or any other man, and measure it. Let me use this analogy. Let the word of God be the sieve or the screen through which you sift things. And if the word of God won't let it pass, dump it in the pit where it belongs with Satan. All right? I hope you've learned that lesson well, because he uses it not once, but every time, teaching you to beware. Does that mean, well, if you just be a Christian and repent every day, the rest of your life is like you're in the rose garden of life, and every petal is a petal of love. Okay? He loves me, love me not. Okay? Just so wonderful. That promise isn't made anywhere. Okay? But that promise is very real if you love your Father, if you love to work for Him, and if you love to help your brethren that are downtrodden, lied to, mispreached to, that you give them some hope in Him and lubricate that generously with truth, son, from this word, not yours, whereby God can reach down and touch and bless that work. Your life is a work, for you're a sower and you have the mustard seed. Don't let some man take your crown. Hold firm. Stand fast. It's as simple as using this word as you're all in all. What did he say? How did he continue on? Then he really begins to talk to the people, all right? And you get, in 33, he speaks of the leaven again. 34. And these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. What does that mean again? Not everybody's going to understand. Now, you know, I see people that will absorb the truth and, oh, hot ziggity, ooh, I see how simple it is. I'm going to go out here and sprinkle it on the whole world. They're all just going to come running to the truth. Dreamer, you haven't looked up lately to see who's the prince of the air, have you? That's not the way it works. God only wants those that he can use that will produce fruit. Some have a lesson to learn. And do you know what that lesson is? Whether they're qualified to be in the kingdom of God in the eternity or go to hell. It's serious, my friends. It's very serious. That's why your heart and love should want to help them. And you can't help them by lying to them. You can't help them by saying, I'll do anything to get you to come to church. Well, I won't. Because God doesn't give you that freedom. You've got to tell them, hey, it's easy if you love him. If you don't, it could be a tough trip for you. But if you love your Father, when it comes to kicking dragon, it's fun. All right? It's a pleasure to take names and kick dragon if you love your Father, because you know the purpose and the fruit that it produces is people that overcome, that repent, and make willing and able servants to serve the King, the Lord. He has a place for people like that, that care about the truth of this word and not the traditions of men. All these things he spake to them in parable, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation. That's to say, the Kathabol, before Satan was overthrown of this world. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They still didn't get it. I mean, this is his disciples that have walked with him. They still didn't get it. So now, instead of speaking in a parable, he's giving it to you straight on. Two verses, you all could quote them, but we're covering them anyway. Verse 37, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. God in man form. The field is the world. What is it? Where the tares were. It's the world. The good seed, or the children, we're not talking about seed, we're talking about children here, of the kingdom. Take the word seed, check it back to the Greek. It is not the term that is used for necessarily a grain, but it's sperma, which has to do with people, or the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. That's the truth, okay? Pure and simple. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So many people, well, I see the truth, and I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to start doing away with these tares right now. I hate it. Well, how stupid can you be? What did he say? Leave them alone. They have a purpose also. You have a purpose. Can you do it God's way, or must you do it your way? I guarantee you, you're not going for it if you do. We teach his word. We stand against the Kenite, you bet. I suppose that, I suppose that I don't know. I can remember the time when this was the only ministry that taught who the Kenite was. Though there were other people that knew, they just wouldn't say. And God has brought us a long ways from that point. And I thank him for that. And may we continue to do it his way. The mustard seed is like the kingdom. Do you want to be a part? Then keep planting that mustard seed, but watch your branches. He promises it'll grow into something really nice. It will, and it'll be useful if you'll plant it, if you'll take that initiative. It'll grow into something pretty nice. But did he say, I'll come along and I'll kick all them dirty birds out of their nest? He didn't say that. He leaves that entirely up to you, what you're going to do with the dirty birds. Do you need help deciding? Well, you're in trouble if you do. I can tell you real quick what to do with the dirty birds that come along and try to settle in your nest, all right? I think I don't have to tell you. You all know what that 2x4 stands over there for, okay? Only that's about a 4x, that's about a 2.5x4, you know? It's a big one. Some old boy whittled that out, and it's got a lot of good writing. I jest, that's a 2x4 exercising love in teaching our Father's Word. You know, keep dirty birds out of your tree. Your tree house is all yours to play in, okay? Don't let dirty birds get in it. How do you filter them out? By seeing if they pass through the sieve of God's Word, which will sane out that doesn't belong. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, the simplicity in which you teach, Father, that we can see and grasp those truths and go with them, whereby we are fit and loyal servants, Father. We know that servants serve, and you have shown us the way, and we follow. We thank you for that in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.